In Micah chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, we read, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." I want to talk to you this morning about that very thing that Micah asked in verse chapter 6 and verse 8 there. What does the Lord require of you? From our text, we see this passage, and it's considered by many to be one of the most comprehensive and all-embracing statements in the Old Testament. Here Micah asks the question, what does the Lord require of you? Excuse me. Micah answers his own question and makes some very important points, not only for the sake of Israel of his day, but for the benefit of us today. We need to study what the Old Testament tells us. For everything that was written in the Old Testament was written for our learning, according to Paul in Romans 15 and verse 4. He says there, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Now, as we look at this passage, I want us to try to learn something and consider this question, what does the Lord require of you? What did the Lord require of Israel in the Old Testament? And what may have Israel thought? Well, there's some possibilities, even some absurdities. In the text, Micah asked the question about year-old calves as burnt offerings, thousands of rams, or 10,000 rivers of oil, or even offering the firstborn child. Well, let's notice a couple of observations. One, God did indeed speak of those things, of some of those things. In Leviticus chapter 1, verses 1 through 13, he did talk about the offering of calves and rams as a sacrifice to him. But you look at what Micah talks about here with the 10,000 rivers of oil, that's an absurd amount of oil, and suffering, an offering of the firstborn are examples of hyperbole for the sake of making the point, for the sake of emphasis. Now, from this context, it appears that sacrifices had become a ritual. And alone, that did not please God. So just going through the motions of knowing that we have to serve God at a certain time on a certain day, that's not pleasing to God. One could not please God in this time under the Israelites, with the Israelites, by simply offering innumerable sacrifices. It didn't matter. Even things that were precious to the worshiper. Now, for religious rituals properly ordained of God to be accepted, they must be accompanied by other things that are just as essential. So what did God require of Israel? Well, Micah says that God required of them to do justly. This means, according to Homer Haley in his commentary on this passage, to act toward God and man according to the divine standard of righteousness that's revealed in his law. And this did involve offering of sacrifices as was commanded by God. But it also involved treating their fellow man in a way that was right and fair. Failure to do justly was one of the main reasons that Israel went into captivity. Write these passages down and study them in a later time. Zechariah chapter 7, verses 8 through 14, and Zechariah chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. So God not only required Israel to do justly, but also to love mercy. Again, we go back to Homer Haley's commentary, and he says that this means to show a compassionate, warm-heartedness toward man. Not only were they to treat others fairly, but he wanted them to show mercy when mistreated themselves. In a sense, he's telling them to use the golden rule. One reason they were to love mercy was because God himself delighted in showing mercy. We go back to the book of Micah in verses 18 and 19. And Micah records for us here, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." So not only did God require Israel to do justly and to love mercy, but he also required them to walk humbly with him. Again, Haley says here, comments and says, this involves living in a humble and submissive obedience to God's desire and will. And he says that this can only happen when we recognize the absolute holiness and righteousness of God. In passages like Isaiah 57 and verse 15, and Isaiah 66 verses 1 and 2, we see and understand that it is the humble heart of God, it is the humble of heart and spirit that are greatly pleasing to God. Now these three things God required of those who would come before him, not instead of the ritualistic observations, but in conjunction with them, Matthew 23 and verse 23. So now let's make application of this text to those of us today. And what does the Lord require of us? Well, what we might think is that some might think all that the Lord requires is the observance of certain rituals, like attending church on Sunday, as though if one does this, they've done all that's required. I sometimes wonder if people really believe this. That's the impression that we receive a lot of times from their example. And that's the answer that they often give as far as what they think the Lord requires them. Well, what does the Lord require of you? Well, he requires that you attend the services every Sunday. Well, certainly, attending services of the church is important. It is essential to obeying God, Hebrews 10 and verse 25. It is required if we are expected to grow spiritually, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Verse 24 there tells us that we're to stir up, to provoke unto love and good works one another. In verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some of them was. In fact, I am persuaded that failure to attend every service can be displeasing to God, as we read in Isaiah 5, verses 15 through 17. But when we're absent, are we making the most of our time? You know, during this pandemic, a lot of churches, congregations, have not had public services. Are we displeasing to God? Or are we, when we're absent from the brotherhood, if you will, the family of God, are we making the most of our time? Do we really believe our absence is the Lord's will for us? And can we explain the lack of several things? The lack of spiritual growth. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 that we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Paul would tell young Timothy to study, to be diligent in your understanding of the Word of God. Can you explain the lack of commitment in the work of the church, in the individual's lack of work in the church? The lack of close fellowship with God and other Christians. You know, I am convinced that it is essential that we observe what rituals God has ordained for us. But the Lord requires more than just being present or attending church. So, what does God require of us? To do justly. To act according to God, according to his divine law. Matthew 7, verse 21. They came to him in his Sermon on the Mount and said, "Lord, Lord, look at all the things that we've done in your name." And Jesus told them in that same passage to depart from me. I never knew you. Just because I'm doing something and applying the name of Jesus to it does not mean that it is right. To do justly means to act toward man according to God's divine law. Ephesians 4, verses 25 through 29. So God requires of us today to do justly, but also, as the nation of Israel of old, to love mercy. We are to show a compassionate, warm-heartedness toward man. In Galatians 6 and verse 10, Paul says that we're to do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. In James 1 and verse 27, the individual is to have compassion and warm-heartedness toward the fatherless and the widows. In Luke chapter 6, verses 35 and 36, Jesus tells us there that we're to have this mercy toward our enemies, but also we're to walk humbly with God. The only way to enjoy His fellowship and continual cleansing by the blood of Jesus is to walk humbly with God. James 4 and verse 8, 1 John 1 verses 7 through 9. And such close communion and fellowship with God requires, now listen to this, it requires daily that we listen to God, that we study His Word and learn His will. James 1 and verse 21, 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. It requires daily that we talk to God, praying for strength and forgiveness, praising Him for the blessings that we have received. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, and Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. And it also requires daily that we walk with God by doing His will in humble submission. Paul writes in Ephesians 5 and verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Drop down to verse 8 and he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. In verse 15 there of Ephesians 5, he says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. So by walking humbly with God, we are more likely to keep a proper balance in the demands to do justly and also to love mercy. Now, as we close out this lesson, even though we live under a different covenant, the Lord still requires of us to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Our rituals may be different with respect to worship, but the basics are still the same. Now, the question needs to be asked, are you doing what the Lord requires of you? Consider this, have you done justly by obeying the gospel of Christ? Do you love mercy, which is shown by accepting God's mercy offered in Christ? And are you walking humbly with your God by living a life that is dedicated to obedience to a Christian life? If not, then all the church services that you have attended or may ever attend, all the sermons you may have heard, and all the prayers you may have offered will benefit you nothing. I pray that we will work to the best of our ability to do what the Lord requires of us. Again, thank you for being with me today. If you have any questions, you can look me up on the Eastside Church of Christ website. That's church@eastside.com. You can look me up on Facebook also if you have any questions, and I'd be glad to discuss with you the Word of God. Thank you for being with me today.